Hello and welcome to the RK Football Podcast. I'm Carl Dixon. This is episode 2. We are finally back.
We're back.
After our first episode.
Hello.
I'm joined by Matt Ty.
Hello
Matt
again.
Downey.
Good afternoon.
Stuart Irvine, as usual.
Hello.
I'm Carl Dixon. So, it's been a big, big week considering what we talked about could happen in the week and what has happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a lot to look forward to this weekend too. Throughout the show, we're going to be talking all things Van Gaal, Yaya Toure.
A little bit of Europe.
But there's only one place to start, really.
There is.
Big game on Saturday. FA Cup final, Wembley Stadium. Arsenal trying to end their hoodoo, really. 9-year trophyless seasons. Hull City's first FA Cup final ever.
First ever final.
We all watched the game together.
Mm.
Something had to be broken that day.
And it certainly was.
Fortunately, it went the wrong way.
Goes all the way back to Huddleston, who was looking for one on the volley. It's deflected, and it's in! Hull City are ahead! Early on, it came off Chester! My goodness me! 3 minutes on the clock, and Hull stun Arsenal! Hull looking to threaten again, and Myler was first up for the header. He got above Sanya for that. Couldn't direct it goalwards. Quinn keeps the pressure on. It's a terrific start, this, from Hull City, and they might have another one! They do have another one! Curtis Davis, the other central defender. Sensational start here from the Tigers, who really are burning bright. Goes a long way, and the header off the line. My goodness me, it was Alex Bruce with the header, and that was nearly three. Kieran Gibbs keeping it out. And Arsenal need something here already. Cazorla, and a fantastic goal! Arsenal back in it! Superb strike from the little Spaniard. Cazorla to swing it in. Bouncing around, Adrian turned it back to Johnny! Arsenal level! The score is down, injured, but Hull City concede the goal. Wilshere, Sanogo, Giroud, and yes, Arsenal get the goal. It's Aaron Ramsey. That's the one they were looking for. Arsenal turn the FA Cup final on its head. 2 down, 3 to up. And that is it. 9 years of hurt over for Arsene Wenger and Arsenal. They have won the FA Cup. And quite a story it was too. When all hope seemed to have gone, 2 down in 8 minutes, Arsenal, comeback kings, win it.
So Arsenal have won the FA Cup.
Congratulations.
Well done them.
Finally a trophy for them. After 9 years. We all watched the game together, as I say.
Yeah.
What a game.
It was a great game.
I think it's one of the best FA Cup finals I've seen since I've watched football, I'm not going to lie.
Mm. And when Hull went 2-0 up in the first 10 minutes, I mean, we were all sort of against Arsenal.
At that point. We were.
Not going to lie, because the underdogs, the Tigers, we all wanted Steve Bruce's side to win. Mm. And going 2-0 up. We were watching it in a pub, which we don't condone alcohol, but we were all watching together, and the whole pub was just cheering. It's the only word to say, really.
Apart from the small stag do.
There was a small stag do of Arsenal.
Small,
fans,
there were about four of them.
But describe the feeling, really, that the whole players must have been feeling.
They must have been elated because they knew they needed to get a quick results, quick start. Because Arsenal are one of those teams that if the first 10 minutes are so important. So not only to be 1-0 up, but 2-0 up in the first 10 minutes. As a whole player or fan, I would have been elated. Just know, like, we can do this.
They needed that start, though. If they left it for too long, I think they would have been on the end of the thumping by Arsenal.
Also, if it was the other way around and Arsenal were 2-0 up in 10 minutes, it could have been one of the highest scoring finals in the ever.
Definitely. Stuart, I mean, it's Arsenal's set-piece problem coming back again, and two goals conceded from corners and free kicks again. It's another problem.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not like I was watching that going, like, devastated Arsenal 2-0 down. I mean, I think the funniest thing I saw from that was a guy across there was an Arsenal fan.
Right behind us.
Yeah, and he was, like, the most annoyed guy you'll ever see. He was just like that face, like he was gonna just find a whole fan and just punch you, knock him out. It was so funny.
Thing is, he sat behind us and knew we were against Arsenal. So when he went 1-0 up, it was like, oh, that's all right, we'll come back. Then it was 2-0 up. I think he actually left. I think he left either for the bar or just to get away from us.
I'm sure I saw tears when he came back. I'm not gonna lie, but Arsenal did turn it round again. Cazorla.
That was what a great goal. Free kick.
No goalkeeper in the world would have saved that.
That was a stunning free kick.
I was devastated, but God, that was I applauded it. I just clapped in the pub. It was so good.
And I mean, it came at such a good time because we all agreed if Arsenal didn't score before half-time, you couldn't see a way back into it.
The thing is, just before that, they did have Alex Bruce's head and saved off the line. Yeah. So if that had gone in, they wouldn't have had the free kick and that pretty much I would have gone game over.
Mm. Going 3-0 up, you can't see them losing it, but Arsenal did come back because all was fantastic free kick. And in the second half, there were many penalty appeals for Arsenal.
There's about four appeals, but I reckon about two or three definite.
Yeah. That's, well, in a way, because Arsenal were the big team, everyone was against them. But if it was Hull that had them penalty appeals, there'd have been a huge uproar.
Exactly.
It's lucky, in a way, Arsenal went on to win the game. Ramsey got the winner, and it's a perfect end to a perfect season for Aaron Ramsey.
Written in the stars, in my opinion, that's how it works.
And Aaron Ramsey's been Arsenal's best player this season?
Oh, by far.
If he was not injured as much as he for such a long period, I think Arsenal would have been in the title race till
for a lot longer.
April, easily.
What do you guys think about Yaya Sanogo? Because he came on and, in a way, he changed the game because when he came on, they were 2-1 down, struggling really to make a decent chance. And then, all of a sudden, chances came and they went on to win the game 3-2.
I feel that he was their target man because he's six foot odd. And he's not as technically skilled as Giroud is, but they can just lump the ball up to him, he can control it and cause an issue in the defence.
There was definitely a sort of a determination about him, rugged. He chased everything down, while Giroud would be there to flick the ball on. He never chased it down, and Sanogo went down the wings, ran the sides.
Sanogo was trying to get in the right position, whereas Olivier Giroud, he wasn't in the right place at the right time for Arsenal to get that crucial goal.
Although, that's why just saying, a touch of class from Giroud with that back heel to Ramsey.
That was.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really underrated, but it was brilliant. So, Arsenal win the FA Cup, and it's probably a trophy that saves Wenger's job, it's fair to say.
Well, he hasn't signed on his new contract yet. He was waiting till this. So, I reckon if it was either going to be you win the trophy, you get a little bit bumper upgrade. Or it's just like, yeah,
try
find someone else.
So do Arsenal go on strength by strength here? Do they, next season now, they really challenge for
them? Well, Wenger said this is a turning point, so I reckon I can understand why, because they've got the trophy and they know they can win a trophy. They've broken that 9-year curse and they can go forward.
I think they're a cup team. Their team, I can see it was a cup team and finishing Champions League. So yeah, I don't see them challenging for Premier League title unless they invest in their squad wisely.
See, the thing is, when Manchester City won their first FA Cup a few years ago, everyone went, yes, now they've finally won something. It's the winning mentality that wins you trophies. Manchester United will know it under Fergie for years. City have started to go through it. Chelsea had it for a while. Maybe this is now Arsenal, as he says, the turning point where they can challenge for the league next season and do something really unexpected. Like Liverpool did, for example.
Yeah, but we didn't actually win anything, so sort of.
We won the League Cup 2 years beforehand.
Yeah, I remember that well.
It was a big League Cup, though, really.
Yeah, it was.
It's the same sort of thing. The day after, Wenger and Arsenal, they held a victory parade. There was a huge argument going on Twitter, as usual, about how many people believed Arsenal shouldn't be holding a victory parade because it's about time they won something and they shouldn't celebrate it.
I don't understand because the FA Cup is no easy thing. Every team in England is in it, and if you win it, you should celebrate it.
I mean, sorry to bring the rivals up, but are you telling me that when Birmingham won their trophy, they couldn't celebrate it? Because that's just...
Well, that's a bit different, because Birmingham weren't expected.
It's a miracle. It was a miracle.
Because Birmingham weren't expected to win it, whereas
they weren't
Arsenal
expected
are.
To win it, but it's still a long time period, like, but it's not as bad as Arsenal.
Well,
I don't see why.
It was sort of demeaning to the FA Cup, really, because are you telling me that it's not worth the celebration? You tell that to the Manchester City players that lost out at Wigan, to the Chelsea players that lost at the Etihad. You know what I mean? They really wanted to win that trophy. Say that to the whole players that lost in the final. You know what I mean? The FA Cup still is.
The FA Cup's one of the best cups we've got, and everyone says it's the magic of the cup. You can't describe it.
No, you can't. And I mean, I hate to bring this up, but the magic of the cup, it's brought us some great moments this year, including Sheffield United winning at Villa Park, but we don't want to bring that up. So there has been many, many great moments this season.
Exactly.
I mean, what is it? Season, they actually have something to celebrate rather than last season. They finished fourth and they were going mental, and you're like, no, you're celebrating something that
you should achieve.
Yeah.
With the squad they've got, that's definitely. Right. But finally, the money is being pumped in slowly last season. Ozil came in for a big chunk of money.
Big chunk.
Arsenal surely have to do the same this season to really push on.
I think they, instead of just spending a big chunk on one player, they need a couple of players, because we saw this year with a few injuries and they're stuck. They need to get depth.
In some ways, like what Tottenham did, but apart from be a bit wiser with the money, not go for stars.
Well, the difference is Arsenal need four or five players, but they'll still have the spine of the team. Mm. Tottenham brought a brand new team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stuart, as a Liverpool fan, do you believe Arsenal are on the same level as Liverpool, or a better team or a weaker team?
I think I know where this is going.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
Oh, I would hate to say this, but I think at the moment, just because they won the FA Cup and they've actually, with the squad they had, they actually won a trophy. They're just a bit better than us, just at the moment. Because obviously we done all the, scored these goals, all this attacking stuff, but our problem was our defence, and we didn't.
I would say Arsenal have a better defence than Liverpool. Yeah. I mean, it's rare that people say that about team.
That does sound
Arsenal.
Weird.
At the beginning of the season, Mertesacker and Koscielny were the best defence in the league, along with Chelsea.
Yeah.
The
only Steve Ball did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought that when Rice went that it was going to be very hard to replace someone like that, and they managed to.
Bakary Sagna, and he's way out of Arsenal, but the way it looks... Is Carl Jenkinson good enough to replace him, or are they going to have to bring someone in?
I'd bring a backup.
I'd certainly get a backup, because Jenkinson, yes, he's good, but he's not, he can't...
Is Jenkinson a future England right-back?
No.
Maybe. Because if you've got to think, after when Johnson's gone, we don't have an out-and-out right-back left, apart from Jenkinson.
And we have
Carl Walker.
I don't really rate Carl Walker.
Carl Norton can come in.
Forgot about him.
Michael Richards, if he gets some games, because he's finally
Michael
left
Richards
City.
Michael Richards is so underrated.
We've been saying that about Richards for the past four or five seasons now. He needs to get game time.
Well, he has left City now. He's a free agent as it stands. His contract runs out this summer.
I think Arsenal should sign him up. That would be a perfect fit.
In a way, this is weird, because speaking of the Sanya move, it's expected by many people that he's going to end up joining City.
Swap deal.
See, the thing is, and we did speak about this during the cup final. There's no way Sagna is better than Zabaleta. Very, very good right back, but Zabaleta's one of the best in the world in his position.
I mean, it's all money for Sagna, though.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why he's going.
See, in a way, this is because everyone is moving for the money. It's wrong, blah, blah, blah. But shouldn't he really want the last paycheck for his family and earn as much as he can?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? We will move on. And the second biggest story of the week by far has to be that Louis van Gaal, the worst kept secret in football this summer, Louis van Gaal is the new Manchester United manager.
Wait, that was the worst.
It was the worst kept secret. Everybody knew it was coming. The biggest story out of it, though, surely has to be the retirement of Manchester United's best player ever.
Yeah.
In Ryan Giggs.
Interesting stat. Last season was the only season he failed to score in the Premier League. Out of all the Premier League seasons, last season was the only one he failed to
Manchester
score.
Manchester United's top scorer. Top appearance holder, even.
His top scorer.
Top scorer.
Well, I mean, you're going to go that direction.
no, but over 300 more than his closest competitor for Man United. He's a, he's definitely been a one-club man, obviously. But mm-hmm. will he ever be replaced?
No. You find so... Well, not only the fact he's such a dedicated player, you don't find many one-club players anymore.
He really is one in a million.
I mean, like...
They're rarities. You get one in a few clubs. You've got Giggs at United and Terry at Chelsea. Where are
Gerrard.
Although, interestingly enough, John Terry has played for another club.
On loan.
Giggs or Gerrard didn't do that.
But that none of... But
no, I understand your point. I'm just making a statement. Ryan Giggs is going to be the assistant manager. Is that the right move for him career-wise, or should he go out on his own?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's a good move to have an experienced person above you to sort of like get notes off.
And Van Gaal's got the experience.
Van Gaal has the experience, but I think he needs to move away because I think he's just going to be known as that guy from United soon.
I think he should do what Steve Clarke done with Chelsea. Be the assistant manager for a few years and then move on to someone like a lower league club and then bring him up. Because how Steve Clarke done it, I think he's done it pretty well. So,
Stuart, do you think the Van Gaal acquisition will take Manchester United back into the title picture?
I don't think it's more the manager they get, it's who they buy. Because well, all the rumours say they need like three or four new players to really rejuvenate the squad.
Well, they've been given, they're going to give him 150 million to get him back in the title race. And in my opinion, I'm thinking... To be honest, that okay, if it is enough, then fair enough, but I don't think it is.
See, the problem is, Manchester United is a club. While Liverpool dropped out the top four for a few years, Champions League places, they could afford to because they were a well-run club at that point. You know what I mean? After the whole Gillette's fiasco, they were starting to get back to the way they should be run. Yeah. Manchester United can't afford to stay at the Champions League for too long because of all the debts they've got. That's their problem. They rely on the income. So... Spending 150 million will earn them 750 million next year if they get back in the top four. Football's a business at the end of the day.
Unfortunately, yes.
I think the worst thing about this announcement, I know like everyone says, oh, it's the worst kept secret in football, but I think Louis van Gaal should have left this announcement till after the World Cup.
Definitely.
Because now the players aren't... They're going to want to say goodbye to him, play well under him, but...
Well, Van Persie won't need to say goodbye.
No.
But, I mean, it's like, if I was playing under a manager that was going to leave, the next month I'll think, well, I'm just waiting for the next guy now.
Yeah. So. And, I mean, it's going to be a distraction for Holland's World Cup campaign, which is a shame. Although many people don't believe they'll really win it, it's difficult to play... when you've got all this media, because a lot of the media will go to the press conferences not to ask about Holland, and they'll just go, how do you think, what do you think about Shinji Kagawa saying, or anything like this, you know what I mean? It will be Man United questions, which is a real shame. Van Gaal will bring in the experience, and as you say, transfer targets are the main thing. I read something this morning about, he believes there is only 4 or 5 players in the United squad good enough to play for Man United.
And I'm guessing one of them is Rooney.
Well, if I had to take a guess, I'd say Rooney, Van Persie.
Mata,
yeah. Anyone else?
I would say David De Gea.
I was thinking De Gea just because...
He has improved over the last 2 seasons. Mm. Definitely better.
Just because there's no one else. Exactly. As horrible as it sounds.
Tom Cleverley?
That doesn't even dignify it.
Yeah, that's
no.
I mean, players like Shinji Kagawa, Michael Carrick, although Carrick's best years are probably behind him now. Players like Kagawa and Hernandez in particular.
They need to leave to save their careers, I reckon.
They are really good players. They just don't
fit
the United mould.
You've got to remember him.
Stop talking about Danny Welbeck.
Danny Welbeck's...
He's a character.
It's a peculiar one, really, because... He's a very good player in his own right, but he's not
world-class.
As good as he's talked about, I don't believe. And I know Matt Thaney disagrees. Come on.
Best player in the world.
I'm sure Messi and Ronaldo might have a little problem with that.
Put him up against Luke Ryan Shawcross and Robert Huth and see how they do.
Ronaldo's done that. Yeah. And still was amazing. Yeah.
So Ronaldo and Messi are ripping it up in Spain, and on Saturday was the La Liga decider that we had previewed last week, and nail-biting to say the least going into that final game of the season. Barcelona 8, Atletico Milan at the Nou Camp, winner takes La Liga.
Well done to Atletico, first of all, winning it.
Definitely.
But I've got to feel so sorry for them because they've lost Costa and Turan before the Champions League final.
Well, we will preview the Champions League final in just a little bit, but losing those two players in the first half against Barcelona at the Nou Camp and then going 1-0 down, it's the worst possible start.
It was like Mission Impossible, from you could say.
Although the goal from Barcelona... Yeah.
That was a goal.
What a fantastic goal. Alexis Sanchez on the volley, tight angle.
Boom.
Brilliant. Brilliant goal. I'm sure we all agree, Atletico Madrid, everyone's favourites in Spain this year. They've been the team everyone's loved to watch.
Yes. They've been like the neutral team for everyone. Like Liverpool this season, everyone wanted Liverpool to win the league. Like everyone wanted Atletico. So.
But is it a one-off?
If they can keep their players... they might be able to do it again.
Diego Costa's already on his way out to Chelsea, if you believe what you read.
If you also believe what you read, Courtois is being the first choice keeper at Chelsea as well.
Well, that's many. I don't think Courtois will be back there.
What, Chelsea or Atletico?
Atletico.
I think he's a one-off, because they, when you said like they lost two players against Barcelona, were 1-0 down, everyone thought they're going to really struggle here. They only drew at the end of the day.
Mm.
And if you're losing two big players like that and they don't have anything to back it up, I can't see how they're going to win the league next year.
Yeah, but they did come back to get the goal.
I mean, I watched the game later on in the night on replay, and although they did get back to get the goal, good goal from Diego Godin on the corner, but that's all they really did. He parked the bus in a way. And there's nothing wrong with that if it wins you the games, but Barcelona did seem to dominate the possession without Costa and Turan, and Raul Garcia didn't have a very good game, and he's an important player for them. I think it might be a one-off purely because, looking back on Valencia 2005, last time Real Madrid or Barcelona didn't win it, all their best players got sold at that point, and then they soon dropped off, and look at them now. You know what I mean? Mid-table. I can see Atletico going down that road, definitely. Stuart's nodding his head. Just,
we've got to remember when Atletico last won the league, they did drop down into the Segunda division.
1996, they last won the league. It's a huge... We're talking about Arsenal having a huge weight. Champions League final is Saturday. We have to preview it, of course. I said last week, if Atletico win the league, they won't win the Champions League. I'm still going to back that point up, simply because two huge games in a week... How do you focus on both and give it the time and effort it needs?
You can't really. You've got to take them as they come. You've got to focus on the Barca game and then the Real Madrid game.
And Arsenal, Atletico even. Although without Costa, without
Turan
as well, yeah. Raul Garcia has a big role to play.
He does. It's going to be interesting because it's also come out that both Ronaldo and Bale could be fit for the final, so that's going to be...
Yeah, definitely. Ronaldo, Bale, Benzema, Di Maria's in really good form as well.
Modric is also having a good season.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for Atletico.
Oh, yeah, because honestly, just the names there. And you said, was it with Atletico losing, like, was it Costa and
Turan? Those are their two key players.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me if Real Madrid win it like 3-1 or something.
See, the thing is, Real Madrid will be looking for revenge, losing out on their title.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? City rivals.
It's bringing extra spice to an already spicy tie.
And I mean, I'm not wanting to be a precursor or anything, but I did say at the start of the season, and when I first met you guys, when we speak about Champions League, I did say I got a feeling about Real Madrid this year.
As a Chelsea fan, I wanted us to win it, but I thought Madrid would.
Just for some reason, I don't know whether it was Bale going there, and it's fair to say they've got probably the best attack in the world.
It's one of the scariest. As a defender, you see the likes of Ronaldo, Bale, and Di Maria, and Modric, and
it says it all that Di Maria is probably their bench winger.
If Di Maria is their bench winger, I'm scared.
Do you know what I mean?
And as a centre back, I'll be scared to face that.
Di Maria is a player that probably could walk into the Chelsea side, walk into the Liverpool side. I know he could walk into the Villa side. You know, it's difficult for Atletico to find a way. But saying that, they've found ways all season.
They have.
It's on Saturday as well, late, just before the Champions League final. Possibly the most expensive game in England. The most rewarding, definitely. I mean, I'm not sure the exact profit, but the number will be announced soon. It's usually around 60, 70 million pound final. Championship playoff, QPR versus Derby for a place in the Premier League.
Come on, Derby.
Huge game.
See, both sides have been hugely attacking-wise brilliant this year. Hmm. And Harry Redknapp, Steve McLaren, one's an ex-England manager, one should have been an England manager if you believe what you read. It's definitely going to be interesting, definitely.
I have a feeling that Derby could edge it just, because if you look at the record between these two sides, it's always been very close. This is going to be a game like won by one goal, I think. Literally that. Because,
I mean, just as I big up all their attacks, you go 1-0. I don't know. I don't know, because Charlie Austin on form after his two goals. You've got Derby's attack, you know, or any one of their front four can score it out of nowhere.
You've got Will Hughes, who's a good wonder kid, and you've also got this Bamford, who's on loan from Chelsea, who knocked them in at MK Dons, and since he's joined Derby, he's been knocking them in left, right, and centre.
So Champions League final first, predictions. We go from left to right. Matt Tye, Matt Downey, and Stuart Irvine.
3-1 Real.
I'm going to go 2-0 Real.
Same as Matt Tye.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Matt Tye too. I'm going to go 3-1. It just sort of seems right. We will look back on it next week. Championship playoff final. QPR Derby.
I want Derby to win it. Simple as.
Is that what you predict scoreline wise?
Scoreline, I'm going to go 2-0 Derby.
1-0 Derby.
2-1 Derby.
2-1 QPR.
Ooh. Controversial.
I just have a feeling they've got the more experience. It's what's needed in finals like this.
Drinks aren't any better on this.
No, definitely not. The following day, at Wembley again. Wembley's going to be used a lot this weekend. The League One playoff final. And it's
Leighton Orient, Rotherham.
Yes, but it's going to be a game between two very good attacks again.
Again, yes.
Leighton Orient are my favourite to win it, personally. I'd prefer to see Orient in the league, just because they've probably got the best housing at the stadium. I mean, there's a flat right above the ground, which, if you're an Orient fan, that is where you want to live, don't you? It's definitely where you'd want to live. If they had one at Villa Park, I'd sell my house and just...
Southend got one, though.
Southend got one, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no one wants to see Southend.
No.
So, Rotherham, Leighton Orient.
2-1 Leighton Orient.
4-0 Leighton Orient.
Ooh. You have to explain that prediction, I'm sorry.
I think Leighton Orient will be really hungry for this, because they've just fallen out and they'll feel like... Because they felt like they should deserve to be in the...
They did just miss out on the automatic promotion. And I think they'll just
try and rip into them, and I have a feeling they will. So.
We'll go to a hometown Crawley boy.
Well, just because... Because you said, was it Rotherham, and obviously managed by a former Crawley manager. I'm going to get to say a cheeky 1-0 win for Rotherham.
I'm going to go 2-1 Leighton Orient, but I want to speak about Crawley just for a minute, because we haven't actually done that yet, seeing as we're on the League One stage. What sort of season do you think your hometown club has had?
Well, not the same season we had last season, but a consolidation, really. We haven't got the money or really the squad to compete to get a playoff place.
But you've come a huge way, considering 4 years ago or whenever it was, you were a conference side.
Then you played United in the FA Cup finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take maybe 5 years until we actually maybe get out of that league.
Can you ever see Crawley Town playing Premier League football?
That's put in a sense. I would love to see it, but with the way we are now, no. With the stadium we've
You'll
got,
need a new stadium. That's a definite.
I could pick it up, say it's an amazing stadium, but it was built for conference football and not for League One football.
Hmm.
And
but I know you're a big League One fan, as is Matt Thoney and Matt Tye.
League Two.
But football
Don't
league
make
fan.
Me cry.
Football lower league fan. What's better, lower league football or Premier League football?
That's tough.
Lower league for me. Because you're fighting for so much. Like, you've got the playoffs down there. And if you get in there, you're playing in one league.
It does seem like it means more to the players when to the lower league players, because it literally is their livelihood. You know what I mean? Winning a game can earn them so much, while in the Premier League, it's sort of like, oh, I'm going to earn it anyway. So there seems to be more
passion.
Passion. Stuart?
Well, football league, lower league is basically what football used to be.
Mm.
Just with you can spend so much money, but it doesn't guarantee you like getting promotion or staying in the league and stuff like that.
Well, staying in the league and getting promoted is what the League Two playoff finals are going to be about. I know a certain Matt Thoney, he's a bit disappointed.
Oh. He was quite. You should have seen him earlier.
What was your prediction last week when we were speaking about the League Two playoff semi-final second leg, Southend at home to Burton Albion? I know you went Southend. That's
I did
definite.
Go Southend. I can't remember exactly what I went for.
I think you went 3-0 Southend.
I think it was that. When we went 2-1 up, I was off my seat. I was amazed, and then suddenly they scored. And well, Stuart can back me up for this. I literally just fell
cried.
In pieces.
Oh, he was devastated. Oh.
I was over the moon. And that's no offence to you, Matt. You was just Burton Albion, being a Midlands boy, although it's East Midlands. Certainly the team I want to win the playoffs. And it was a good performance from the Brewers, to be fair.
No, it weren't.
Southend, they just caught Southend on a bad day.
Southend were the best team on the day.
But did we watch a different match?
Yeah,
I'm sure
like Southend they had all this possession.
No,
and they just didn't use it.
We're too daring in at the back. That's why we kind of fell into. Yeah. We're lucky to get in the playoffs, in my opinion, because our defence is too daring. Mm. Next season, we need to be investing in two central defensive players, a bit like Liverpool need to if they want to get Premier League.
But for the two sides, is it more of a day out at Wembley, or have they really got to focus and believe?
Oh, no, they've got to believe. You can't. When you go Wembley these days, I mean, everyone says it's a day out at Wembley. No, you go there to win it. When you play at Wembley, you want to have memories of it, not a horrible one that's...
Well, that's what I mean. You want to have memories of winning the game and lifting a trophy, yeah. Which, for some reason, all playoff finals get a trophy, which I don't particularly understand. I mean, second place don't get a trophy. But third, fourth, fifth, or sixth do.
It's not even a nice trophy.
No,
it's horrible.
But, what predictions are we going to go for this one then?
Who are Burton playing?
Fleetwood.
We should speak about Fleetwood a tiny bit, just for the unbiasedness. You know, Fleetwood, in the same sense of Crawley, have come a long way in the past few years.
Yeah, they are.
Very unlucky to not get in the...
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago they were playing Aldershot in the conference.
Exactly. And you spoke about, when you're speaking about the League One playoff final, about them dropping out the automatic promotion places and be really gunning for it, Orient. Surely Fleetwood have got to be in the same vein.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I seriously think that, like, literally on the last day, and I think was it the last day or second to last, Scunthorpe lost and Fleetwood, all that do was win, and then a horrible goal was just let in that ruined it for them. And it's that kind of thing, they're just going to want to get revenge for it again.
So, going predictions, Matt Tye, Fleetwood
2-0 Fleetwood.
I'm gonna go 3-1 Fleetwood.
Mm.
No, I'm just gonna go 1-0 Fleetwood.
See, I want to go with Burton, I really want them to win this, but. Predictions is all about who we actually think, and we're going to be realistic, so I will go full house 2-1 Fleetwood.
But you've got to look at Burton, they've actually got a really good striker up front.
Adam McGurk,
yeah,
former Villa player, just saying.
Out there.
Although saying that, we let him go.
But he was, if honest, when you let him go, he was injured in his playing career. Yeah, he thought to be over.
Definitely. He has had a fabulous season. Mm-hmm. And the two games against Southend really showed his... No, but they did really show
he
his strengths.
He scored the two crucial goals that sent us out, so yeah.
And the strikers judged on crucial goals. Ask Ruud van Nistelrooy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's why Freddie Eastwood's a legend at the South End. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sure. We don't agree with that in any way.
Moving on.
So... Seeing as we're going on a roundup of games, we have to talk about the Europa League final.
I've actually done some research on that. Cause whoa. I've actually prepared for this because they mentioned something which is really interesting. When Benfica last won a European trophy was in the 61 and 62 seasons. They were the first team to break the Real Madrid dominance. And the manager then, because his contract was up, asked the board, I've won you this, I've won you that, I've won you back-to-back Champions Leagues. Can I have a pay rise? And they refused it. So his contract was over, and he said, right, 100 years, you will never win a European trophy. And before then, they went on 7 finals and lost them all.
So last week's eighth final.
Eighth final last week against lost. Seville, lost on penalties.
It's good, isn't it?
To me, that is
62 years without a European trophy.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
My brain tells me, don't believe it. But the facts, I mean, come on, 8 finals, that's just...
Backs out completely. I just think that's so harsh. Like, you're not giving me the right money. Okay, I'm just going to curse you for 100 years.
I mean, can you imagine if it happened nowadays? Roberto Mancini at City. You're sacking me.
I put a curse on you! But look at it, Seville. They're now the most successful team in the Europa League, winning it 3 times in 8 years.
Definitely a surprise package, considering... their form in La Liga, particularly, they haven't.
Well, they were lucky to get into Europa League.
Like, in the they finished ninth last season. Didn't they get Europa League on like?
Two teams got rid of.
Well, Malaga got banned because of their money issues, and I think another one because of like finance fair play.
Might have been the Turkish side because either they get banned from European football for doing something.
They always do.
Speaking of Turkey, Fenerbahce, who are the Turkish champions, are banned from Europe. So Galatasaray and Besiktas now get the Champions League spots.
And then
Bursaspor's in the Europa League.
Yeah.
There is one thing I do disagree with about the Europa League is that the team that finishes third in the Champions League goes straight into Europa League.
I think
that's out of order because teams go through all of Europa League, can get to the final and be beaten by a team that's just been chucked in.
AKA Fulham.
Fulham went all the way and only got in through financial fair play. Got to
Benfica
the final
against Chelsea last season.
And Atletico.
No, both Benfica and Chelsea dropped out of the Champions League that year.
And that's still wrong.
But no, this year, Benfica dropped out of the Champions League and was won by Sevilla, who were there from the start.
It is really unfair anyway, and it demeans the competition because
it also demeans that most big clubs don't see it as a proper trophy. But I'm glad UEFA changed that because now from this season, from the coming season onwards, the winner of the Europa League gets straight into the Champions League.
Well, then what happens if that? Is a team that dropped out of the Champions League.
Say if we're talking English teams, Chelsea drop out of the Champions League into the Europa League and win it again, but they already finished third. Who gets the Europa League space?
But we'll be allowed they've changed it so there can be now 5 teams from the same country if it happens like us.
So England wouldn't be awarded an extra Europa League place.
We would be awarded an extra Europa League. We'd also be awarded an extra Champions League spot.
Lucky Arsenal.
Ooh.
So Tottenham, who if they finish fifth, would get Champions League, and then eighth, seventh, or eighth would get the Europa League spot.
So it's similar to what they do in the FA. Was it League Cup and FA Cup in England? The winner up or the winner gets.
AKA Hull City flying high in Europe next season.
Hull City are in the third qualifying round. Spurs are in the playoffs, and Everton are in the group stages.
Yeah.
So. We've gone through the main stories in terms of games and obviously the Louis van Gaal story. There are a few transfer stories that we've want to touch upon.
Craig Gardner's gone to West Brom.
Craig Gardner going to West Brom. I mean, as a Midlands boy myself, he has been around the Midlands. I mean, started at Villa, claimed he was a Villa fan all his footballing life. Joined Birmingham, went, no, I'm a Birmingham fan, I didn't support him at all. I lied. Genuine truth, that's what he did.
They all say that when they join a club. They all say, oh, I've supported them all my life.
Went out to Sunderland, now joining West Brom. It's a peculiar one because, and I mentioned this before you went on air, it sort of seems like West Brom have watched his contract go down for 4 years because they were interested in him at the start. They were interested in him in January. And I don't see the point in signing someone for money 6 months before his contract runs out.
Well, this season, I mean, 2 seasons before last one, he made over 30 appearances for Sunderland, and this season made 18, scored 2 goals.
He is
it
a very
good, massive difference.
He's a very good striker of the ball. Mm. He can hit a good free kick, and I mean, I remember him scoring against Southampton in the FA Cup this season. Really good goal. Yeah. He can score good goals. It's whether he can be the midfielder that Albion need to put the crunching tackles in and or play the superb passes that split the defence. I don't know whether he can quite do that. Stuart's dying on us.
Sorry. If you suddenly hear his mic with no voice.
I'm trying my best to not cough, but it's really hard.
So that's the one transfer that will go through when it opens. Yaya Toure.
Cake Gate.
Well, let's start from the start.
By the way.
Let's start from the start. Yaya Toure's 31st birthday. And he's... I mean, I can't... Matt, you explain, because it's just total nonsense to me.
He claimed that he wasn't respected by the city board or the city players because they went out to Abu Dhabi to meet the owners, meet the sheikhs, and all he got was a cake.
Most people just get a cake.
And for birthdays, don't you get cakes?
Yeah.
Can you just clarify that for me?
Yeah, I didn't get a cake from anyone. I got cheesecake.
Yeah, but that's because
it's you. You're not Yaya Toure.
But it's your birthday, you get cake.
What was he expecting?
I think it's more the fact that he just got cake and none of the... And when they were out there at the actual beating the board, they didn't actually acknowledge him.
He wanted strippers.
I can understand it.
I can understand them not acknowledging.
So he wants to leave Manchester City because the owner didn't say happy birthday to him.
He says they didn't respect him, like didn't shake his hand or acknowledge what he did for the club. It seems like they just got him a cake and that's it. And
they got him a cake at least. Most owners wouldn't even do that.
Well, they've come out with it. Have you heard his argument? It's like, well, I got a cake. The Roberto Carlos for his birthday from Angie Macachalada got him a Bugatti Veyron. That's two totally different things. Russia is Russia.
And two, Roberto Carlos at this point was, at the end of his career, world class still. Mm. Yaya Toure is a world class centre midfielder at the moment, but he's not got the reputation Roberto Carlos had.
But one thing I do think is wrong. If you look back on whether it was mentioned on Sky Sports News this morning, that that he's done this before. He's made these kind of points before with Barcelona. Mm. But Barcelona wanted him to actually go Real Madrid. They were literally giving the money to Real Madrid just to take him. And then when he went to City, they were like, oh, thank God for that. So obviously he's been causing this with clubs before.
So
can I just say, if he doesn't want the cake, can I have it?
I don't think he'll want it. It has a giant slice. Manchester City badge on it.
It'll give me great pleasure to cut it with a knife. Damn!
I think we should give it to Stuart.
I'll have more.
He's still not over it.
I think he's definitely
would. I won't get over him probably until start of the season.
You'll need a chainsaw to...
I wasn't thinking about that, but that sounds like a really good idea.
Yaya Toure, though... Former Barcelona player, do we think he's just sort of engineering a move back to the Catalan Giants?
Well, after it seems like they tried to get rid of him so much, I don't know why he would do that.
Well, it is a club close to his heart. He has spoke many times about it. He wants to go back to Barcelona one day. And the situation they're in now, although they could have won the league, they had a very poor season, performance-wise. And a new manager's come in now for next season.
Luis Enrique.
From Celta Vigo. Very quickly done. Do we see Yaya Toure back at Barcelona next season?
I can see him back at Munich. I can see him going to Munich, I'll be honest. Because they're going to... If Toni Kroos and like all these other players from Munich go to Man United, let's say it happens, Munich would want a player like Yaya Toure.
See, the thing that's against him has to be his age. As we say, he's now 31. A lot of people say his best years are probably behind him.
Oh, no, he's at his prime now, in my opinion.
I don't know. I think he'll have a poor season.
You've also got to say
season.
His style of football doesn't fit this new Guardiola-esque tiki-taka. Because he left Barcelona when the tiki-taka started.
Yaya Touré at his best is someone that's running at you.
Not dancing around you with a ball.
No, not playing one-twos here and there. I think... See, it does depend on the World Cup he has. We're not going to preview the World Cup too much, but he will be there playing for Ivory Coast, obviously. And if he has a good World Cup, his stock's got to go from really high...
To quite high.
To, like, Disney Pixar up high. It's gonna go a long way, and Yaya Touré is someone that wins games on his own. That's the quality that Xavi and Iniesta don't have.
Sorry to bring the dagger in, Carl, but his goal against Aston Villa was kind of what proved his season, in my opinion. I think I did actually stop it.
I was right. In fairness, if we're gonna lose, you want to lose to a goal like that, don't you?
Yeah. You want to lose to a spectacular, not a stupid mistake or just a dribble.
We've had enough of stupid mistakes at Villa this season, including the selling of the club still not happening yet. Paul Lambert did an interview yesterday and he said the sale of the club isn't imminent. Why? I want your opinions on this. Wouldn't you rather sell your club soon enough so you can bring transfers in for the summer? As it stands, if it doesn't get sold, we won't buy any players this summer.
But it might not just be the seller's fault. There might not be people wanting to buy Villa.
Oh, come on.
Have you considered that? People don't want Villa.
I'll buy it.
I would. If I had the money, I'd buy it.
We are a good club. You can't deny that.
We're not just saying that because we like...
You've got a good club.
It's a good club.
You're a good club with good history, but the past three or four seasons... You haven't been enticing to the Abramovich's who are sitting and watching the Premier League going, I'm going
to
buy them.
We do need a new change.
Doing that before they become rich.
Yeah, I'd love it. Abu Dhabi, if you are listening.
Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Russia, anyone with money.
If you're lucky, you might.
And Abu Dhabi, did you know there is an oil ranch right above the pitch, right under the pitch even? No, anyway. Interestingly enough, on the subject, you were reading something in the BBC gossip column, which we regularly check. Darren Bent looks like he will return to Villa next season simply because we need all the players we get. That's what it says.
And as a Villa fan, how do you feel?
Darren Bent's a great player, and he is a good striker. No denying that. The fact that we have to keep people because we can't sign anybody else on the same day that we've released Markel Bryson
and D'Alfonso
and Nathan D'Alfonso. All right, D'Alfonso hasn't done much in the club, but why are we releasing all Bryson?
He's a prospect for you. I would have kept him.
Buy
Aston Villa, buy them back.
you see the emotions we have to go through at these clubs that aren't Chelsea and Liverpool. Anyway, you mentioned about Toni Kroos. There are rumours that Van Gaal's already agreed a deal with Bayern.
Don't get me wrong, if he does go, that is a huge player for them in midfield, but it's going to take a lot for Louis van Gaal to persuade Toni Kroos to leave Bayern Munich.
I don't know, because he's not someone regularly starting for Bayern, is he?
True, but then he's got Champions League football, they're the best team in Germany.
That's what Van Gaal's problem is going to be, because if United finish fourth, they'd have still been able to bring in the players the calibre of Toni Kroos.
But in an interview, Louis van Gaal has said United are the best team in the world, but he's only saying that so he can get these transfers attractive.
I mean, it's fair to say Man United are the biggest club in England. Even as a Liverpool fan, you've got to admit that.
I won't admit it on air. But
no comment.
Yeah.
But what Man United fans are going through right now, our special analyst Stuart understands.
Yes, I do.
Could you just explain for us exactly what the diehard United fans must be going through, not the ones that have suddenly gone, oh, I'm a City supporter?
What do you mean?
That leaves four.
can't find City fans anywhere. I've only seen like two, like ever.
Because they're actually in Manchester.
Yeah. It's a well-known thing. If you're a football fan in Manchester, you support City.
Okay.
Good note.
Good to know.
True story.
I know what top to wear when I go to Manchester.
That would hurt you.
Yeah, it would.
So we've been through this weekend's games, we've been through last weekend's games. Yesterday, Sam Allardyce was announced that he will be in charge for next season. It's split West Ham fans right down the middle, because a load want him out and a load want him to stay.
But have you seen what he's got to do to keep his job?
Sexy football.
It has got to be the sexy Dutch style football, but also finishing the top half.
Well, they have brought in a new attacking coach. They are going to bring in a new attacking coach. That got Stuart there, hasn't it?
Yeah, but you can have the best attacking coach in the world, but you're working with Shamak and Carroll.
Sam Allardyce, sexy football.
Shamak. Come on.
Well, that's just like, no, that's rubbish.
Listen, Sam Allardyce is from Dudley, which is nearby me, and I've never heard anyone from Dudley be recognised with the word sexy at all. just saying.
But what is it? Everyone says Sam Allardyce is the best manager if you're in a relegation scrap. West Ham owners won't see it like that. They'll see it as, but we want progression. And if he's not going to bring that, then why are we going to keep him?
The thing is, it's whether they want to take a risk, because they can bring in a new manager who will change the style of play and possibly take them on to Europa League chasing. But at the same time, they could bring in a new manager who will change the style of play, it won't work, and they'll get relegated. With Sam Allardyce, it's a safe bet. I think the owners have sort of gone, we want to keep him because it's a safe bet, but the fans are going to riot. So what we'll do, we'll keep him and say, you have to try and change the football for a bit. This is what we're going to tell the fans, you know, just to keep him sweet. Mm. The worst possible thing for West Ham, I think, would be to sack Allardyce, because I don't...
Who would you get at this precise moment to replace him?
That's my point. I don't think there's a better run out there.
There's Steve Clark, but then, to be honest...
You've got to think there is a few managers that are available that aren't signed to anyone, like the likes of Ranieri, Zola...
Well, Ranieri was sacked by Monaco, which is really peculiar.
Was he sacked or left? Because I see different stories.
You see different stories. I think...
And if he was sacked, why? They finished second to PSG.
It's probably a mutual sort of thing, because... Why did you say they finished second, and the points they got out of the past 4 years, they would have won the league.
But the big blow for them was definitely Falcao.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the player they brought in, Dimitar Berbatov, he's a classy player, but it was a very weird signing.
He's actually done really well. If you have a look at his stats, he's done well there.
He has done well, but then I don't think he's quite filled the boots of someone like Falcao.
I think it also hurt them by having Lassina Traore go on loan to Everton.
Oh, yeah. It shows the parallel between the French League and the English League, doesn't it?
Yes.
Anyway.
But Ranieri to Tottenham? Any takers there? He's now fifth. Yeah. He is fifth favourite for the Spurs job, and the only one in that top five without a job at the moment.
I think he's the Spurs board's backup if they don't get Pochettino. You know what I mean? I think that's who they want. I can understand it, because the style of football he's brought in at Southampton, you've got to think to the fitness. Southampton are probably the fittest team in England. Mm. You know what I mean? They chase the ball from first minute to 90 plus minutes. You know what I mean? They don't stop. And I think that's what Spurs want.
I honestly can't see Pochettino leaving Southampton.
No. Give it maybe another season, and he may do.
The only reason I can is because of the board upheaval that there's been this season. You know what I mean? Chairman left, Nicolas Cortesi left, who brought in Pochettino. Mm. And there was a lot of talk that Pochettino could leave at that time.
Yeah, but he didn't. So.
Spurs are knocking. And the squad they've got, Spurs have got very good players. They just don't gel as a team. Maybe that's what they need, Pochettino to come in, drill them in pre-season, like proper... like Sergeant Pochettino, you know what I mean? And it'll bring them together. And
yeah.
See, the problem is, if Pochettino leaves Southampton, Lallana leaves Southampton.
Sure.
Shaw leaves Southampton. Maybe Rodriguez, once he gets fit. Where do Southampton go from there?
Steve Clarke.
I think if Pochettino leaves, I really don't think these stars will necessarily follow. Like you're saying, okay, they will follow.
I think Lallana's on his way out. I don't know whether Shaw will.
I'll give him another season.
Will.
It depends on whether it won't be any. It won't be Southampton's choice because Man United will offer 25 million.
It actually depends
million.
On the World Cup, though. If he does a bad World Cup, then maybe.
See, the thing is, Man United will offer 25, 30 million and Southampton will accept it. Because Luke Shaw is not worth 25, 30 million, even in today's now and age, simply because he has the potential to be worth it. I'm not debating that. He's not worth it right now. So Southampton are always going to accept it. You have to. It's good business.
Well, if
it depends whether he wants to go and sit on Man United bench.
I think the best place for him to go, if anywhere, would be Chelsea at the last moment after Ashley Cole has announced this week that he's going to leave Chelsea.
You say that, but Patrice Evra's leaving Man United.
And it also hasn't been confirmed that Ashley Cole's leaving. He's just said he's weighing up his options and Chelsea's door is closing.
Mm. Real Madrid?
Real Madrid are
seems
off.
Is the likely destination.
2-year deal for 10 million.
I don't know whether that's quite the right move for him. I don't know whether it's better for him to move off to America now and have a nice, relaxing retirement in the sun.
In Miami, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Miami, LA, yeah.
He's only going to go and sit on the bench in Spain too.
Mm-hmm.
You really think Ashley Cole's going to play over Marcello once Ashley Cole's hitting 34 and 35? Highly unlikely. As a fullback, you have to have pace.
Yeah.
In nowadays, Ashley Cole's not going to have that much pace at 34, 35.
Yeah, just get a walking stick.
Trip him up.
Just get one of those
Zimmers.
No. What's the word? I don't know what the correct word is, so I shouldn't say.
Yeah. Just say. Oh, sorry.
But anyway, so Ashley Cole seems like he's on his way out. Will Frank Lampard follow?
No. There's rumours that he's about to sign a 1-year contract.
I think it's the right move for Lampard. I don't think he will leave Chelsea again.
I think he will stay at Chelsea and then become part of the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I reckon he'll retire after next
if
year.
He was gonna,
he's going to be 36.
If he was going to leave, next year. It would have been last year.
Exactly.
I think that's fair to say.
No, I reckon he only stayed on last season because he broke the goal scoring record. I reckon.
See, I
well done.
Sure.
You beat 202 goals, but here's another contract. That's what I reckon was done.
I reckon that's the only reason. No, I think Chelsea only offered him a contract just because of the fans' uproar. I think Lampard would have only signed. obviously he signed, but I think Lampard, if he didn't break the record, would have gone, oh no, I want to play because I want to break the record. Once he broke the record, I don't know if he thought, you know what, I don't actually have anything to play for here, really.
If the player always has something to play for.
No, but
that's
no.
What every player thinks.
No, I mean, in terms of Chelsea history, because he's this season he's sat on the bench more or less all season.
Yeah.
Next season he's going to play less. In a way, his Chelsea career is already not over, but winding down.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's a future. If Frank Lampard's going to have a future in football, it's away from Chelsea. Playing worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But as you say, I can see him joining on the coaching staff, just like Giggs has at United and Scholes, just like Gerrard will at Liverpool.
But in my opinion, if we involve everything that has happened between like massive players for Chelsea in the past decade to 15 years, he is the best player Chelsea has ever had. And losing him would be a massive blow for Chelsea.
Big statement. And as a Chelsea fan, I'm going to trust your opinion because I'm not really qualified to speak on that too much. But I am going to have to throw a few names at you, the likes of Didier Drogba, the likes of John Terry, the likes of Gianluca Vialli, if we're going to go early.
The problem with Didier Drogba, he was a great player and everything, and I'm not... You can't take anything away from him, you just can't. With Lampard, though, he captained that side. He he taught players around him what to do in his position.
But don't you think, as horrible as this sounds, Lampard was only vice captain because he was English?
Lampard was only vice captain because he was there since 2001. Drogba was there since 2004. So Lampard was Lampard was the more experienced. And after Lampard, the next captain was Drogba. And with the teaching players, yes, Lampard taught the midfielders, but Drogba did teach the likes of Barini, who also brought the, like, even though we don't have many youth strikers, the ones that who were there, like Kakuta, Barini, and Sturridge at the time, he took them under his wing. The likes of Kakuta and Barini.
What about John Terry, though?
John Terry is by far probably the best captain we've had. He's the most successful.
Most successful, by
probably one of the best defenders England's ever produced.
If John Terry didn't have the personal problems he had,
I think that ruined his...
It ruined his international career, definitely.
That's why I think...
And I think he would be spoke about in the same way that Bobby Moore and that spoke about, once he would have finished, if he didn't have those personal problems.
The reason why, like,
he was that good.
I put Lampard above Terry is because, I think it was 2005, wasn't it? He was second behind Ronaldinho.
Oh, yeah. The World Player 2005 was Lampard's best year of his career.
And John Terry was never in that category.
But Terry's
tougher
tough for defenders because you're constantly under attack. Terry's been in three team of the years of UEFA team of the years.
I mean, the only reason Paolo Cannavaro won the World Player of the Year 2006 or 2007 was because he won the World Cup the year before, and for Juve he was. I mean, they destroyed the league before that.
That was 2006 because Kaká won it in 07.
I mean, I wonder whether Juve would have won the league if people were actually playing the way they meant to and weren't throwing results away, but...
That's another story.
That is another story. We're droning on and droning on. We do have other things to talk about, just like...
Can I quickly just say well done, Cambridge, for getting back into the Football League?
That's where I was about to go with it. Cambridge Gateshead on Sunday. Cambridge are finally back in the Football League. It's took them a while.
It's taken them, oddly enough, 9 years. Last time Arsenal won a trophy was the last time Cambridge was in the league. Mm-hmm. Rushton's having a field day on Sir Graham.
Yeah. I guarantee. In a way, it's good that is a Sir Graham on Saturday. In a way, it's good because the whole episode would just be him standing in front of the camera going, "Yes, yes."
And there's Helen Chamberlain in her talkie shirt, knowing the fact she's got to go to Aldershot and Woking. Whee!
Nothing wrong with conference football, is there, Stuart?
No. There's so much wrong with conference football. I'm sorry.
Aldershot, Woking, big derby still happening.
To be quite honest, I couldn't tell you. I haven't experienced it. It's Premier League for me.
You don't want to. It's tough.
It's horrible.
I'm basking in the fact that we've never been relegated while I can.
Don't curse it.
Not gonna lie.
Don't curse it, though.
No.
You don't have a hundred.
You've been close. You've been very close.
We'll be closer this season, by the looks of it. Anyway.
You could be the surprise package.
No. No. I think that's all.
Hold on, but have you heard what's happened recently with PSG?
Go on.
PSG are recently under investigation by UEFA and might have a possible partial stadium closure in the Champions League next season because it's come out that 5 disabled fans and their 5 carers from Chelsea were abused during the Chelsea-PSG game at the Parc des Princes.
Heard about that. Why?
The rumours state that coins, bottles and they were spat at. I don't know where the truth is, but UEFA are getting involved.
That's disgraceful.
It's partial stadium closure and another £50 million fine.
They're lucky it's just a partial stadium closure.
They are lucky. If this is real, PSG will defend it, I think, either this Friday or next Friday, and then in July it's decided.
See, it's a problem that will never go away. The racism and the offensive side of football is because... You can have so many fans, but there will always be...
The minority.
The minority, no matter what. It will never go away, no matter what they do. That's a problem. So, that is quite interesting. Mm. Speaking of fines, though, Manchester City's fine. I know we spoke about it, but I read this morning that half of the fine is going to, is going to be split out between the other 19 Premier League clubs. It's interesting, isn't it?
That's
in a way, because it'll make Man City not do it again, because they're paying their rivals for City's mistake.
Mm.
It's a really clever thing that FIFA have done there, I must say.
So Villa could buy someone.
Villa, we... oh, we could. Because Lerner's not going to put the money in if you're selling it.
City bought you as player.
they could just give us Yaya Touré.
Could give you
You'd be lucky to Jack Rodwell.
Or you could just buy
Jack Rodwell.
You could just buy him and get a cake and like a Ferrari or something, you know. Even if you can't, or just get him like a picture of Ferrari.
I don't think we could even afford a picture of a Ferrari.
Could you afford the ingredients for a cake?
It's not that bad. We're not Portsmouth.
No, you're not.
I think that's all we have time for today.
Yeah.
It's flew by.
It's all I've got on my notes.
Yeah.
I think that's all we have time for. So I'd like to thank you all for joining me, Matt Tye, Danny, Stuart Irvine.
Yeah.
We will be back for our next episode. Episode 3, we're rolling on. It's episode 2. Well, this is episode 2. Done out the way. I've been Carl Dixon. Thank you all for listening. And in a way,
this is it.
We'd like you to be back for the third episode.